Thank you for joining me for another week of our 4.5 year verse-by-verse journey through all of God's inspired word. We are going to turn our attention back to a story we just started at the end of last session. It is in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. I want to start a little bit up in chapter 26 at, oh, good grief. Let's start at verse 15. This is about King Uzziah, the longest reigning king of southern Judah. We know that he was a godly man. He became king when he was a kid. But he did good things. He really took care of the strength of southern Judah to keep it strong and not allow other places to abuse it. He worshiped God appropriately, all of that. The last thing we read about his strength is in verse 15 of 2 Chronicles 26. In Jerusalem, he made machines invented by skillful men to be on the towers and the corners, to shoot arrows and great stones. His fame spread far, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Now, the marvelously helped, that's a reference to God. God was on his side, helping him to bring Jerusalem, to bring Judah up to this peak of strength. And that is one of the reasons why Tiglath-Pileser III will never be able to take Jerusalem, because of the work of King Uzziah at God's help. But unfortunately, even though he is a good man at heart, he falls prey to pride in his last few years. Verse 16 says, when he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction, for he was unfaithful to he who is his God. So this is a story that takes place, by my chronology, in 741 BC. On the first day of the seventh month of that year, the seventh Jewish month, Uzziah would have celebrated the beginning of his 50th year on the throne. No other Judean king, no other Israeli king had ever ruled that long. And so it appears to me that his pride takes the form of saying, I need something special to mark the occasion of my 50th year as king of Jerusalem and of Judea. And so what does he choose to do? This is what we're told. He was unfaithful to he who is his God, and he entered the temple of he who is to burn incense on the altar of incense. That's what he chose to do. He felt that he should be the officiant rather than a priest offering the prayer incense at the time of one of the sacrifices, either the morning sacrifice or the evening sacrifice on this particular day. And so, as the ceremony begins, he, no doubt in his best royal robes, enters into the temple complex, he ascends to the worship court, he walks underneath that tower at the front of the shrine building, the place that has the two bronze pillars named Yakin and Boaz, which are, their literal names mean he will establish in strength. We are pretty sure that that is the place where the kings took their inaugural oath. And so Uzziah walks past the place where he was once made king with an oath, and he enters the place where only priests are supposed to go, the holy place. He walks through the holy place to the place where there is the lamp of the Lord on one side, the table of the Lord on the other, and then the golden altar of incense right there in front of the Holy of Holies. Now, if this is set up the way I suspect, when he walks in, he would have been able to see through parted curtains the Ark of the Covenant behind the golden throne, or excuse me, behind the golden altar of incense. And so he walks where only priests are supposed to walk. And he has in his hand the bowl of incense that he plans on dumping on the golden altar, where he plans on praying for the people of Israel and for himself on this special occasion. That's what I think is happening. Now, that comes as a huge shock for the priesthood. Verse 17. But Azariah the priest, so this is the high priest, he went in after him. So he chases him in. Because Azariah, if this actually is the first day of the seventh month, it is the beginning of a new year, of the agricultural year. It is a new month. It is special on so many ways that the high priest himself would probably be the one that would do the incense offerings on this day. So he was probably standing there waiting to go through the ceremony, and in walks the king, right past him, right straight into the temple itself. And so he starts chasing him down with 80 priests of He Who Is who were men of valor. So these are serving priests who are also shocked. They cannot believe what they just saw. Their godly king of 50 years, whom they all respect, just blew past them and went into a place that he shouldn't be going. And so they withstood King Uzziah. So they get ahead of him. They get up in front of him, trying to bar him from doing the very thing he wants to do, which is to offer the incense. They withstood King Uzziah. They said to him, "It's not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to He Who Is, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. You need to go out of the sanctuary, for you have done wrong, and it will bring you no honor from He Who Is God." So they are strongly resisting him and trying to convince him, "You've got to leave here. You've got to get out of this building. This is not your place." Now, Uzziah, who, remember, he was declared to be crown prince when he was very young. He's probably 54, something like that. He becomes very angry that they won't let him do this. Now, he had a censer in his hand to burn the incense. So we're talking about the bowl that he had the incense in, the container. And so when he became angry with the priests, leprosy broke out on his forehead in the presence of the priests in the house of He Who Is by the altar of incense. So this altercation, this confrontation is taking place here in that space between the menorah and the table of the bread of the presence and the altar of incense. And we've got the high priest and we've got the 80 priests, and we're all in here at the same time, which is not normal. And the king is mad that they won't let him do this. And then suddenly God marks him. Now remember, I've taught you for quite some time now, leprosy is not Hansen's disease. It is not a physical problem. It is a mark from God on a person, place, or thing indicating that there's something that needs to be evaluated for change. And so God does not strike Uzziah dead on the spot, because let's be honest about it. His life up to this point has been stellar. It has been remarkably holy and righteous. This is a crazy lapse of judgment of a good man. In a moment of pride, he has come in here to do this thing. And so God does not strike him dead on the spot. He instead marks him. And the mark, of course, is this translucent skin where the color just goes out. And I find it instructive that it breaks out on his forehead. Because you remember, the high priest, when he wears his clothing, his special uniform to do ministry in the temple, which I think he's probably wearing on this particular day, there is a little gold plate that sits on the high priest's forehead that says, Kodesh le Yahweh, holy to he who is. And it marks him as God's high priest. And so I think God marked Uzziah with leprosy in the exact same spot to scare him, to let him know, you don't belong here. This is not your place. It belongs to the one who is holy to this service. And so Azariah, the chief priest, all the priests looked at him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. So it manifested right in front of them. They saw it happen, and they rushed him out quickly. Probably they told him, you have leprosy on your forehead. You're marked on your forehead with leprosy. God is marking you. You need to get out. And so he himself hurried to go out because he who is had struck him. And so I believe that Uzziah was given a chance for redemption of this very foolish choice that he made on this day. But he is not given the chance to get back into his legitimate job, which was to be the king of southern Judah, which he's done remarkably well. Because verse 21 says that King Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death, which is going to happen in just a couple of years. God never takes the mark off. And so, being a leper, he lived in a separate house, for he was excluded from the house of he who is. So now that he's a leper, he can't come back onto the Temple Mount grounds ever again. So the very thing that he loved is now barred from him because he went one step too far. And he also can't stay in the palace because he needs to be by himself. And apparently, they built a house for him somewhere. We're not told where. But he has to stay by himself from here on out. And then Jotham, his son, whom, remember, I already have told you, I believe the chronology shows that he was made the kind of crown prince, associate king, back in 749. So this is 741. So 8 years ago, Jotham started working with his father on a regular basis in kingly things. Well, now he has to take over everything because his dad can't do anything king-wise. So Jotham, his son, was over the king's household, governing the people of the land. All right. We're not going to say goodbye to Uzziah just quite yet. I want you to go and pick up a story in 2 Kings about the end of Menachem's reign up in northern Israel, which happens this exact same year that Uzziah gets stricken with leprosy for trying to offer incense in the temple. So 2 Kings chapter 15, verse 21 is where I want you to go. And it says this: "Now the rest of the deeds of Menachem and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? And Menachem slept with his fathers, and Pekahiah, his son, reigned in his place." Now it's interesting, Pekahiah is related to the name Pekah. Now you remember, Pekah is the guy that's running things over in Gilead on the east side of the Jordan. And so I'm going to be honest, I wonder sometimes whether or not Pekah was a very close friend of Menachem and that he may have actually named his son after him. Pekahiah just has the idea of Pekah of Yah. Let's talk about Pekahiah, the son of Menachem. In the 50th year of Azariah, or Uzziah, king of Judah, Pekahiah, the son of Menachem, began to reign over Israel in Samaria, and he reigned 2 years. So that's how we can pin all this stuff down to the exact same year. Now, what's he like? Well, verse 24 tells us, "He did what was evil in the sight of He who is." Specifically, he did not turn away from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which he made Israel to sin. So he's still a golden calf worshiper. He's still involved in that Jeroboam the first false religious ceremonies. Now, he's also probably engaging in other activity that's sinful and apparently not liked by the people in northern Israel. Because the next thing that we read happens in 739 BC, and it is this. Verse 25, "Pekah, the son of Remaliah, his captain." Now, when it says his captain, it means the captain of Pekahiah, because he was also the captain of Menachem. Remember, I told you that everything seems to indicate that Pekah was the agent of the northern kingdom of Israel on the east side of the Jordan River in Gilead. And so that didn't change with a new king. Pekah does not like his new boss. Maybe Pekahiah starts meddling in how things are run over there in Gilead a little bit more than what his father did. And Pekah doesn't like that because he's kind of been the king of his own realm for the entirety of Menachem's reign. And so Pekah decides, you know what? I ought to just be the king of the whole thing. So he conspired against him with 50 men of the people of Gilead, and he struck him down in Samaria in the citadel of the king's house with Argob and Ariah. He put him to death, and then he reigned in his place. And so I believe that the chronology information indicates that Pekah simply counts his kingdom from the very beginning of him serving as the overseer of the eastern half of northern Israel. Now the rest of the deeds of Pekahiah and all that he did, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. In the 52nd year of Azariah, that's Uzziah, king of Judah, Pekah, the son of Remaliah, began to reign over Israel in Samaria, and he reigned 20 years. So if you pay close attention, you can tell that Pekah actually has two different chronologies of his start that are used in the cross-referencing. And so this is something that folks like myself who have an interest in chronological information, we've dug through that and tried to mesh them together. Now, he's not a good guy, this Pekah of Gilead. He did what was evil in the sight of he who is, and then we read the same thing we keep reading. He did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which he made Israel to sin. So he keeps up the worship of the golden calves, which we know from our recent study in the book of Amos is a huge complaint of God against northern Israel. And it is one of the big reasons that the judgment is coming in the form of the Assyrian Empire invading. At this point, we need to go and say goodbye to Uzziah. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 22. It says, "Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, from first to last, Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, wrote." So now we find out that Isaiah is serving as a prophet in Judah during the latter years of Uzziah the prophet. Uzziah the king. And he loves Uzziah. And that's going to be important into our next story. And he ends up writing down a lot of Uzziah's story. He's the source. That is, Isaiah is the source of a lot that we know of the work of Uzziah. "Uzziah slept with his fathers. They buried him with his fathers in the burial field that belonged to the kings, for they said he is a leper." So it would appear that because he died with the mark of leprosy on his head, he was not put into the tomb area over there in the southeast corner of the city of David, the oldest part of Jerusalem, you know, south of the Gihon Spring, but north of where the Pool of Siloam will eventually be. He's put into a grave in the field in front of it, near where the kings are buried, because he's a leper. And then Jotham, his son, reigned in his place. Now, we already know that Jotham has been reigning as full-blown king because of his father being leprous. Now he becomes the solo king. And that all happens in the year 738 BC. And that is also the year that Isaiah has his vision that is so famous. I believe it is his inaugural vision as a prophet. Chapter 6 of the book of Isaiah says this, and we're not going to get through the whole section that I want to do, but we can kind of get started on it. "In the year that King Uzziah died." Now remember, King Uzziah reigned for 52 years total. He is the longest serving king in Israeli history. And he was beloved. He made a foolish, prideful error at the very end, but that would not have dampened the love and respect that everybody had for him. And now Israel, excuse me, Judah is wondering what happens next. And I believe Isaiah has a special feel for that. Isaiah, I believe at this time, is a young man. And he has always known King Uzziah as his king. And now suddenly he's dead. And he's got to be depressed over this. So in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, Adonai, my Lord, sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. So Isaiah is given a vision of the true king of Judah. And that is God himself. And he sees him in his heavenly temple. And he is decked out with all of the markings of his eternal office. Verse 2, above him stood the seraphim, the burning ones. That's what seraph means, burning. And then seraphim is plural, the burning ones. It's a name of possibly the highest classification of angel. Each had six wings. With two, he covered his face. With two, he covered his feet. And with two, he flew. These are the exact same angelic beings we see in the book of Revelation, which is an extended throne vision, a heavenly throne vision. That's what this is. And in the book of Revelation, they are saying pretty much the same thing they say here. One called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is he who is of the armies. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And so the prophet Isaiah, at the very beginning of his time as a prophet, is overwhelmed with the reality that God is his eternal king, much more important than Uzziah.